smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his Mighty Allen Art Players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another group of anxious and eager amateurs. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Just listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he leads his weekly parade to the old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band on a muted motorcycle, and the Mighty Allen R players swinging their golf clubs bring up the rear in par. Let's join this throng. Everybody for it! Here they come, bike directors.
Are there any other minutes worthy of the board's attention, gentlemen?
Only 60 minutes on the radio, Mr. Chairman. It's Town Hall tonight. Schoolboys.
Now, Willie, what are those famous words of Sir Walter Scott?
Be there a man with soul so dead who never to himself has said, it's Town Hall tonight.
Pawnbrokers.
You pawned your radio last week, lady. Are you here to take it out?
No, Mr. Goldberg. I wondered if you'd let me turn it on for an hour. It's Town Hall tonight.
Here we are at the old Town Hall, folks, and there's Fred with his Barker Serenade of Barker Olin Banter on the side. Let's listen.
If you wonder what became of Sally, folks, take a gander around the old Town Hall. She's probably enjoying life on the inside. Now here, don't crowd there, sister.
Evening, Mr. Allen.
Hello there, Mrs. Haley. What's the big idea, carrying that hot water bottle into the hall?
I'm entered in the amateurs, and I don't want to get cold feet.
Check your hot water bottles, folks. Nobody holds the bag at the old Town Hall. 60 minutes of fun and fandango, and it's free, so hurry, 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 hurry.
Hey, we're okay backstage, Fred.
Righto, Harry. We're opening with We Saw the Sea.
Okay, Fred. Let her go, Peter.
We join the Navy to see the world, and what do we see? We saw the sea.
We saw the Pacific and the Atlantic, but the Atlantic isn't romantic, and the Pacific isn't what it's cracked up to be.
They tell us that the Admiral is as nice as he can be, but we never see the Admiral, because the Admiral has never been to sea. We joined the Navy to see the girls, and what did we see? We saw the sea.
Instead of a girl or two in a taxi, we were compelled to look at the Black Sea.
Seeing the Black Sea is what it's cracked up to be. Sailing, sailing home again, to see the girls upon the very stream. Then across the home again, to see the other seas we haven't seen. We owe the Navy an awful lot, for they taught us how to do the sailor's hornpipe, and they showed us how to tie a sailor's knot. But more than that, they showed us the sea.
We never get seasick sailing the ocean. We don't object to feeling emotion.
We never seasick, but we are awful sick of sea. We saw the sea. We saw the sea.
Presenting that magnificent maestro of mad momentous merriment and madcap malapropic mumbling, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before opening the oven door and dragging out the goodies we've cooked up for you this evening, I'll read you the Town Hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, public grocer number one, is offering a $2 reward for the return of his neon sign. When the sign blew down in the high wind yesterday, the glass broke and the neon got away. Now, Hodge says if you see a long glowworm running along the street, stop it with your foot. If it curls up and spells Hodge, it's his neon sign. And there's a $2 reward if you can get it back to the store. So much for the neon rodeo, and now for the Town Hall news. Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred.
What is it that can go down for the third time without yelling for a lifeguard?
It's our picture sheet, and it comes down now for the first time tonight.
And what can go out night after night and never look dissipated, Harry?
Our lights, Fred. Out they go.
The projector starts, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Albany, New York. Women members of State Assembly lead fight for legislation to require women to perform jury duty in New York State. Town Hall News shows how women jurors might interfere with men tried and true as they attempt to reach a verdict. The scene, a jury room.
Well, I don't know what a jury this is. It's deadlocked for 3 days. I'm worn out.
Yeah, okay. Me too. 11 of us for the chair and that one dame for acquittal.
I'll try her again, fellas.
Oh, she's hopeless.
Won't you listen to reason, Mrs. Trinket?
I ain't here to reason. I'm on a jury.
Listen, do you want us to go over the evidence again?
I don't care what you do. I won't budge an inch till that woman goes free.
Free? Well, you know she killed her husband. It's as plain as the nose on your face.
Don't get personal.
But you heard the testimony, Mrs. Trinket. It was her birthday. Her husband came home with 40 roses. That started the fight.
Yes, she said she had 5 roses too many.
She don't look a day over 35 to me.
Why, that old battle axe is over 50.
Certainly. Under cross-examination, she admitted she knew Stonewall Jackson.
I don't care if she set out the Civil War with Sitting Bull.
But that has nothing to do with the murder. She shot her husband in cold blood.
Listen, I may be crabbing this party, but I'm not budging till she's free.
Okay. Another ballot, fellas. What is it?
Chair!
Acquittal!
That's fine. Now we're right back where we started 3 days ago.
And that's just where we're going to stay.
Why, if this woman goes free, no married man in the country will be safe.
Exactly.
Oh, is that why you want her acquitted?
You bet. If she gets away with this, I'm going home and take a shot at my husband tonight.
Syracuse, New York. Mr. Donald A. Laird, Colgate University psychologist, instructs psychology class from hospital bed by telephone. Town Hall News shows difficulties that may arise if other college professors attempt to hold classes over the phone. The scene, a hospital room. The professor picks up the phone.
Hello, hello.
Number, please.
This is Professor Nasal at the City Hospital.
City Hospital, I'll ring your party.
No, I'm at the City Hospital.
If you have a complaint, ring information.
No, I have no complaint.
Then what are you doing in the hospital?
Listen, operator, I'm calling Colgate University. Colgate.
Cole as in cellar, gate as on fence. I'm ringing your party.
Hello.
Is this the college?
Yeah, you want the haircut or shave?
I'm trying to get the college.
This is Barber College. You want the haircut, the shave, or shampoo?
Operator.
Now, Berkeley,
that was some barber college. I want Colgate University.
I am ringing your party.
Rah, rah, rah. Colgate University switchboard.
This is Professor Nasal.
Professor Nasal's at City Hospital. Adam's apple trouble. You know what an Adam's apple is?
Yes, I know what an apple is.
An apple is? Excuse it, please. You are talking to Colgate. I'll get an apple is.
No, I want Colgate, operator.
Rah, rah, rah. Colgate University switchboard.
Connect me with the French class, please.
I'm ringing the French class.
Treadwell, Colgate 36, speaking from fourth term French, n'est-ce pas?
Bonjour, Treadwell. This is Professor Nasal at City Hospital.
You'll have to talk louder, s'il vous plaît.
I'm a little hoarse.
What?
I'm hoarse.
Phil's pool room.
I'm hoarse, hoarse, hoarse.
You want to play a three-horse parlay? Okay, where are them nags creeping?
Operator.
I'm ringing Colgate University.
Rah, 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 Colgate switchboard. I'm getting the French class.
This is Treadwell, Professor. Pardon him, why? You'll have to talk louder.
Yes, Treadwell. I'm giving the class its French lesson.
Okay, Professor. Ready on this end.
Very good. Parlez-vous français, Treadwell?
You gotta talk louder, Professor.
Parlez-vous. Parley.
I'm waiting on that parley. Give me them three horses again.
Number clear.
Rah, rah, rah.
Treadwell, Colgate 36. Stop cheering, Professor.
I'm not cheering. Listen.
Hello? Shall we stand by for the phone lesson, Professor?
No, stand by for the postman. I'll mail it over. Goodbye.
Chicago, Illinois. Mr. Freeman Barnes, executive of General Electric Company, claims that 24% of American divorces are caused by eye strain. Town Hall News shows what may happen in this country if married men and women who quarrel get their eyes examined. The scene, a model American home.
Well, Fergus Jones, it's about time you was getting home.
I quit beefing. This ain't the stockyard.
Where was you till this hour?
I stopped off at the zoo to enjoy a little peace before I come home.
With that push, you should have stayed at the zoo.
With the dog's life I've been leading, I ought to move into a pet shop.
You wretch! For two pins, I'd go back to my mother.
Where's the pin cushion?
Why, I'll bust this plate over your empty head.
Ow! I'll bend this rubber plant round your spine like a girdle.
Oh, help you, Bruce!
Shut up and see who's at the door.
Oh, I hope it's the police, you bully.
Shut your mouth and open the door.
Ah, good evening, folks.
What's on your mind, buddy?
I'm Mr. Wheedle, the man upstairs. Now, folks, this sort of fighting leads to divorce.
Yeah, and I'm hitchhiking to Reno in the morning.
Good riddance.
Do you folks know the cause of most divorces?
There's only one thing can cause a divorce. It's marriage.
Oh, no, you're wrong. 24% of the divorces today are caused by eye strains.
Say, my glimpse ain't none too good.
I got weak eyes, too.
I think if you folks wore glasses, your troubles would be over.
Do you know a good eye, Dr. Wheedle?
Well, I'm not looking for business, Mr. Jones, but I happen to be an oculist, and just by luck, I have some sample glasses with me. Now, try these on, Mrs. Jones.
Okay.
You try these tortoiseshells, Mr. Jones.
Thanks.
Now, is your eye strain gone?
Yes. This is the first good look I've ever had at you, Fergus. You're bloated.
This is the first time I've seen you right. You're a mess.
Now do you see why you haven't been getting along?
Yes.
We both hate the sight of each other and didn't know it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a burly individual with a determined look in his eyes bearing down on the microphone. And before...
Pardon me.
Here he is.
I want to speak to the fellow that does all this talking about Sal Hepatica on your program.
Well, I guess I'm the man you're looking for, but...
So it's you. Well, look here. My wife caught a cold last week, and she took some Sal Hepatica for it. Says you recommended it. Is that so?
Well, yes. Don't you ever listen to this program?
Why, sure I do, every Wednesday, but I never listen to you. Whenever any of you announcers starts to talk, I just read my paper till you get through.
Well, now, you see there, if you had have listened, you'd know why I recommended Sal Hepatica for a cold. Because when you have a cold, there are two basic things you want to get after right away. The waste in your body and the acid in your system that aggravates your cold.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I...
But the authorities do. So I suggest Sal Hepatica because it's the mineral salt laxative that does not just one, but two really fundamental things. It not only rids your body of wastes, but Sal Hepatica also combats your acidity.
Now listen to me. Here's what I'm getting at. My wife believed you, so she went out and got some Sal Hepatica and drank 2 teaspoonfuls of it in a glass of water.
Well?
Well, it certainly got after her cold just the way you said it would, and I want to thank you, that's all.
Oh, well, thank you. And thanks for remembering Sal Hepatica for the smile of health.
Ipana Troubadour's playing Breaking in a Pair of Shoes, a sequel to that other hit song, Squeak to Squeak. Now, on Friday night, there will be a stereopticon lecture here.
Oh. Mr.
Quiet, quiet, please. If that's somebody humming, "The music goes round and round," you won't come out where it says in the chorus if I come down there.
Hello.
Well, sir, I laughed when they gave me the hot foot and the match kept going out. They didn't know I was wearing pumps. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, but I can't stay a minute.
Even so, I imagine the time is going to drag. What's your rush?
Our club is rehearsing a show for Washington's birthday.
What club?
The Ping Pong Girls.
Say, that isn't a bad name, the Ping Pong Girls. You're all little bats, is that it?
No, it isn't. We meet once a week to play ping pong.
What's ping pong got to do with Washington's birthday?
The club's putting on a show. It's the whole story of Washington's life. It starts off with the cherry tree.
Are you ignoring the stalk sequence?
Well, everybody knows he was born. We're bringing the whole story up to date.
Really? You mean George cuts down the tree with an electrical saw?
No, he cuts it down by hand, but the union finds out George isn't a union wood chopper, so he pickets the tree.
Make up your mind now. George pickets himself, eh? Yes, sir. No one but the father of our country could. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde could picket each other, I know, if they took turns. But here's George. He pickets himself. You mean the wood chopper's union pickets the tree, is that right? And then what happens?
Everything. While George is chopping, the pickets are yelling, quote, "George Washington is unfair to organized wood choppers. Don't patronize this cherry tree," unquote. And wham!
Well, that's possibly the most outstanding solo wham I've ever heard. Really too bad there isn't an echo here. You would have gotten some results for all of that effort. And wham, and down comes the tree, right?
No, the curtain. It's a wow, isn't it?
Say, the curtain can come down any time in a play like that, and it'll be a wow.
The second tableau is the Potomac River. The tide is out.
Out with the audience.
George is just going to throw that dollar across the Potomac River when a message comes from the League of Nations.
What does the League say? Having a fine time? Wish you were here?
No. It says if you have any money to throw away, lend it to Europe and save the wear and tear on your arm.
Look. Wham, huh? Again. Now, that's where you should have put it in, you see, if you'd have paid any... Look, if you just saved the wear and tear on my ears...
Oh, I get it. You want a change of pace.
Now, listen, I just want
Mr.
somebody
Flair.
Who can pronounce what's
Mr.
supposed...
Mr.
Oh, Mr.
Come on, Dave. Now, get me right, brother. I'm a man of few words, a man of few words.
Mr. Clinch is a go-getter, Mr. Allen.
Right, babe. I'm a go-getter and a bring-a-backer. Anything I go for, I get, and anything I get, I bring back.
Could you go for about an hour?
Oh, a wag, hey, brother?
Tell him who you are, Mr. Clinch.
Okey-doke, babe. Gallop your astigmatism over this card, brother.
Samson Clinch, General and Novelty Insurance.
Now, look, I'll show you something. Let go of the card, brother.
Get it, Mr. Allen? The card snaps right back in Mr. Clinch's vest.
My own idea, brother. Now about your policy.
My policy is to keep away from insurance men. I don't need any insurance.
Don't join the great majority, brother. What are you going to fall back on in your old age?
The same thing I'm falling back on today.
Have you heard about Mr. Clinch's relief policy, Mr. Allen?
A bona fide contract, chum. You turn all of your dough over to the company. At the end of 5 years, we'll have you on relief.
No. I've got all my money tied up in a sweepstake ticket.
You can't go wrong, Mr. Allen.
And if you do, we got a policy that'll cover that, too. Everybody carries insurance.
Not me. Insurance is a contract people sign agreeing to go through life poor so that they can die rich.
Well, how about an accident policy? Cash in while you're unconscious.
Yes, you never can tell when an accident will happen, Mr. Allen.
Especially for a radio comedian. Telling them stale jokes, you're apt to get shot any minute. Earn while you convalesce.
Liz, everything has happened to me already. There's nothing left to occur.
Why don't you demonstrate the accident policy, Mr. Clinch?
A happy thought, babe. Hey, Stooge.
Yes, Mr. Clinch?
Who is this mendicant coming up here?
He demonstrates the accident for Mr. Clinch.
Oh, an accident demonstrator, hey?
Is the sucker ready for the dotted line, boss?
He's nibbling, Joe. Get set.
Okay.
Now, get this, slob. Suppose you got one of my accident policies. You're coming out of the subway. A dame jabs her umbrella in your eye. Like this.
Not too hard, Mr. Clinch.
Joe can take it. Hey, Joe?
Oh, you bet.
All right. Now, what happens?
I can't see out of one eye.
Right. It's an accident. Now, you're a policyholder. I pay you $25 a week.
That's fair enough.
It's only a drop in the bucket. Suppose you get jabbed in the other eye. Like this.
Oh, I can't see nothing now.
Right. The company gives you $10 a week more for the second eye.
You cut down for the second eye.
Well, why not? The jerk can't see what we're handing him.
That's $35 a week. It isn't bad.
That's chicken feed, babe. Suppose you break an arm. Like this. Come here, Stooge.
How do arms run?
Well, a fracture gets you $50. This guy here's got two eyes poked out and a broken arm. He's raking in $85 a week and living on a pat of the land.
Gosh, if you have enough accidents, Mr. Allen, you can be independent.
And I ain't stopping at 85. Suppose you bust your leg. Put your shin up, Joe, till I demonstrate.
Okay.
Now watch close. I'll kick a break in the right leg. Get set, Joe.
Oh,
boy. What does he get now, Mr. Clinch?
Why, a busted gam pays $35 a week. You're flat on your back with the money rolling in. You're drawing down $125 a week.
I imagine you can have a lot of fun going around to nightclubs in an ambulance.
One of my clients, Mr. H. of Omaha, is picking off a cool $200 a week.
He's certainly on Easy Street.
Why, I'll say he is. Right now, he's in an oxygen tent. Leading the life of Riley.
Not me. I'm satisfied to stay healthy and broke.
Hey, come here, brother. You ain't getting away from me.
And your thumb is no gardenia. Get it out of my buttonhole.
We'd better go, Mr. Clinch.
Say, how about pest insurance? Keeps pests from bothering you.
I've got pest insurance right here in my shoe. And I'm about to pay a dividend. How is this?
Oh, a bullseye, brother. But I can take it.
Oh, you shouldn't have kicked it, Mr. Allen.
If anyone else feels he has a kick coming...
I get it. I'll go.
Scram, boys. So long, Portland.
Tally-ho!
Thank you. And now our mighty male chorus, ladies and gentlemen. Three male voices and a tenor. Tonight, the Town Hall Quartet sings a vegetarian ballad, String Bean Ann from San Antone.
Down at San Antonio, there's a gal you all should know. Though she's as tall as the old pine tree, the fellas all love her so. Gal in Texas, who is all the rage, taller than she should be for a gal her age. They gave her a nickname which describes her to a T. No need guessing, cause you get the lowdown right from me. String Bean Ann from San Antone, warmer than the torrid zone, tallest baby down in Dixieland.
Down in the land of cotton,
pretty, yes indeedy, sir. All the boys look up to her.
String Bean Ann is really in demand. Now understand, whenever she goes by, her nose up in the sky, you'll hear the fellas cry. Where did you get that height? She loves love and loves it too. Has step ladders there for you. String Bean Ann from San Antonio.
String Bean Ann from San Antone. Now that baby sure has grown. 6'2" and grown more than that.
She's everything but fat.
Aeroplanes from coast to coast. Use her for a mooring pole.
Yeah, and eagles hold their meetings in a hat.
Now what do you think of that?
You're in for quite a laugh. You haven't heard the half about this human staff. Her pet's a big giraffe, never fears an auto ride, walks home in a single stride. Bring me down from San Antonio.
Gentlemen, we've dug up the three little trees for you. And that old woodsman, Harry Von Zell, will plant them again in a somewhat different manner.
The three little trees. Once upon a time, there were three little trees. The father tree, the mother tree, and junior tree. But now the trees were an average family, and they had the average troubles with their teeth and gums. Father tree's teeth weren't as white and bright as they might have been. Mother tree's gums were soft and tender. And they both had trouble getting Junior to brush his teeth because he didn't like the taste of the toothpaste they gave him. Well, now, instead of switching to two or three different kinds of toothpaste, they turned to the one dentifrice that would take care of all their difficulties, Ipana toothpaste. Father Tree found that Ipana made his teeth whiter and brighter than they were before. Mother Tree massaged a little Ipana into her gums every time she brushed her teeth with it, and it stimulated her gums and helped to make them firm and healthy. And Junior Tree liked the taste of Ipana so much that his parents never had any more trouble getting him to brush his teeth. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, the one thought I'd like to leave with you is this. No matter what you're looking for in a dentifrice, you'll find it in Ipana, the famous toothpaste in the red and yellow stripe tube. So always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again we come to the mighty Alan Ortlieb. Tonight, these merry mimes were going to play Boy Meets Girl, but neither showed up. So instead, they bring you a tragic dramalette from the hills of Arkansas. It's called The Fatal Shot, or He Who Loves and Runs Away May Die Winded, but He'll Die Single. Over to you, Peter. How dry I am, how dry I am. How dry I am, how dry I am.
Oh!
How dry I am.
Oh, you old fool, what you doing?
I'm a-testing this new batch of corn liquor I just run off, Ma.
Well, what's singing got to do with liquor?
Well, when them city dudes get tight, they start singing How Dry I Am.
Well, slap me down.
Business for pleasure, Ma. Dudes can tell how tight they be by the key they're singing in. The higher the yowl, the tighter the bee.
So that's what you got the pitch pipe for.
Yeah, that last batch of corn I sold up in the city was F sharp. I'm aiming to pull this batch of liquor up two tones to B flat. How dry I... Oh, I'll never make it. I'm getting into falsetto with my corn. You can't sell falsetto corn, you know. See who's at the door, Ma. Maybe a ref knew it.
Howdy, Ma, Alan.
What do you want, mangy?
You can go a-scootin' plump to the dickens.
Who is it, Ma?
It's that pesky Newt Hawkins, son of old man Hawkins, our mortal enemy.
Well, doggone my weather-beaten hide. Ain't I warned you, Pappy, to keep his kin off in my land? What you seeking? Trouble?
Yeah. My pappy says it's a nice day tomorrow. Would you all like to get caught up with our feud?
You can tell your hangdog-looking pappy no.
Yeah, pappy says you're nothing but an ornery coward. Pappy says if you'll put your red nose out in the door tomorrow at sunup, he'll take a pot shot at it.
Your pappy ain't got a shot to pot at. Slam that door, Ma.
Oh, then I'll slam that door. Ma, them Hawkins, this will be the death of me, Paul.
If when they catch me in the open, they'll be the death of me, too.
Why don't you get out and bring our feud up to the fiscal day?
I'm reminded to, Ma, but I ain't got no ammunition.
No ammunition?
I ain't got but one bullet to my name.
And I'm a-saving it for something more important than the feud.
I know. You're a-holding that bullet for our daughter Leafy's wedding.
Correct, Ma.
Lord, I wish Leafy'd get hitched.
Oh, who'll hitch with her? She may be my daughter, but she is the homeliest hag in Arkansas. Jeepers, I even had to turn my own head away at her christening.
Hush them tobacco lips, Pa. I hear Leafy a-stirring in t'other room.
Oh, stop your bawling, Leafy.
Listen at him, Ma.
Well, stop simpering, daughter. What you bellowing about?
Today's my birthday, Ma. I'm 39. 39, and I'm still a Debbie.
Now you go back and boo-hoo yourself to sleep.
Here. Don't cry on the floor. You're whopping them boys. If you gotta cry, pick yourself a knuckle.
Oh, Lord, the poor ugly duckling. What's that glass?
Oh, dog fog my bog. She must have looked in the mirror. I told her to use the back of my blue serge coat for looking. Lord's sakes.
Gosh, I wish she was here. She's eating like a horse in her grief.
Yeah, that's just why I'm a-saving my last bullet. The first stranger that shows in these parts, Ma, is leaving town our son-in-law.
I thought for something that voodoo doctor'd get him married off.
Oh, that all-fired Mondebank. I seen his ad in the almanac. I give him $2 to work a cheap spell. Ain't he through mumbo-jumboing around here yet?
Well, he's winding up his hexing today.
So he's gonna haul ghost, eh?
Mm-hmm. Reckon he'll get here soon.
Who's to the door?
Maybe that's the voodoo now, Pa. I feel a chill.
Greetings from the spirit world, Ma Allen.
Oh, come in, Yogi.
Hi, Yog.
Howdy, Lou. I just dropped in to call off my spirit.
Well, might as well round them up for all the good they're doing, Leafy.
Well, ain't that homely daughter of yours married yet? I voodooed her last week.
How come you voodoo us like you voodoo-do, Yogi?
Yeah, how come Leafy is still single?
Well, I don't know, but if the spirits give up, so do I. Hallelujah, brother.
The old carpetbagger. Effing a bad finish, too, that hallelujah. You think a witch doctor'd have a better finish. Effing I want saving my one bullet, I'd have drilled him sure.
Oh, now hold your mean temper, Paul. You ain't firing that gun till we find a bowl for me.
Don't worry, Mama. I'm nasty, but I'm careful.
Open that door, you coward.
Oh, it's that Hawkins brat again.
Yeah, maybe Pappy Hawkins can't wait to feud. He's impatient, you know. Give me that gun.
I'll open her slow, Pa.
Come in, son. I got you kivered.
Hey, now put down that fowling piece, old hound head.
You're a trespassing, Newt. I conveyed. I weren't in the mood for no feuding, didn't I?
Yep, right enough. I told my pappy. He sent me back over to call you some names.
Yeah? What's your ratty old sire aiming to call me?
Well, first off, he says, if in your stomach was as empty as your head, you'd be famished.
Yeah, he said that, eh? Your pappy's so full of corn, the undertaker'll have to shuck him before he can bury him.
And pappy says, you're so tight, you ain't got enough loose skin on you to set down.
Your pappy, so old-fired mean, he uses a stomach pump on fish to get his bait back.
Good going, Pa. Get bitter.
I'm perking, Ma.
And then pappy says, you're so poor, he's seen your dog outside the doctor's a-snapping at bones in x-ray pictures.
He said that, eh? Well, your pappy, so doggone ragged, he's got to carry his buttons in his hand.
Now, hold on. A feud's a feud, but don't go too far.
Newt Hawkins, I'm fixing to end our feud right here now.
Put down that gun, Pa. Don't waste that bullet.
Yeah, don't plug me, you Luke. I ain't hankering to die.
You're meeting a fate worse nor death, Newt Hawkins.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you do know what I mean, do you?
Yeah.
You can take it both ways. It's fate and fate. because you're going to marry my daughter, Leafy.
Whoopee!
No, 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 not with what you said that face.
Yes, I got you kibbered with what you said is gone, too, Newt.
Hold it, Paul. Hold it till I get Leafy. Leafy?
Yes, Paul?
Come down
at least they called her right. That's something. We'll get out of this some way.
Oh, this is going to kill Pappy. Not saying what's going to do to me.
What you want, Ma? Oh, hello, Newt.
Now, join up hands with Newt here.
No, I tell you.
Do like I'm a hintin', Newt Hawkins. I only got one bullet, and I ain't a-wastin' it. You're either going to a wedding, wait.
Get a hold on him, Leafy.
Yeah, now stop it.
Oh, Newt, this is so sudden.
Too all fired sudden for my fancy.
Now, you two love buzzards. You head toward the justice of the peace, and no monkey business.
Do like Pa says, both on you.
Come on, Newtie.
No, by ginger.
Get now, for I prod you with this musket.
Whoopee! Leafy is a bride.
Whoopee, I could dance myself for glee. One, two, three. Come on, Ma, swing your partner.
Turn me loose, Pa, and watch that go.
Oh, don't worry, Ma. All hands round. Do-si-do.
Careful, Pa. I knew it. You old fool, there goes your one bullet.
And here goes your one son-in-law, Luke Allen. So long.
No, come back here.
Jeepers creepers.
My poor Leafy. You don't know what that shot means.
No, what does it mean, Pa?
It means you're going to die an old maid, Leafy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you something I think you'll find amusing.
Well,
now, wait till I tell it, Harry.
I'm sorry, Fred. I was just...
Well, there's no need of apologizing, Harry. After all, it's a lot better to go around laughing than it is to go around with your face down between your knees. You don't exert yourself so much.
Exert yourself?
Why, certainly. Didn't you know that you use more muscles when you frown than you did when you smile?
Well, I know now that you've told me, Fred.
So when you smile, you save the wear and tear on your face muscles.
Yes, not to mention the wear and tear on your friends, if you have an attractive smile. That's why I like to acquaint more and more people with the toothpaste that will really make a smile attractive, Ipana. For Ipana not only makes dull teeth whiter and brighter, but it also makes soft gums firmer and healthier. If you'll just use Ipana with massage. So if you aren't already one of its many users, why don't you let Ipana help your smile? Just give it an honest trial. Then see if you too won't always remember Ipana for the smile of beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight continues immediately after your station announcement. Peter Van Steen and the Ipana Troubadours have just played Cling to Me, sung by the Town Hall Quartet. And now here comes Fred with his newest group of hopeful amateurs to vie for first honors and future fame and fortune. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, again, our amateurs compete for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select your winners. Your applause after each act will be registered on the Johns Manville applause machine here on the stage, and the three acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later for the final vote. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to present to you two boys from Brooklyn, Buddy Groves and George Handelman. Is that right, boys?
That's right.
And you... Huh? Oh, Grover, would you mind standing over Buddy Grover, huh? Well, it's just another slip of the tongue. As I always say, it's no fault of the man who laced up the shoe. Buddy Grover and George. George, you play a double piano, boys?
Yes.
The boy, two
one
of
piano.
You play one piano.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, both of you play on one piano.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't cut down on account of conditions or anything, have you? We have two pianos here if you'd rather use them. That's called two on one piano. That's called a duet, isn't it? I know, it always confuses me. I know a minuet, that's one man playing on a piano. And the duet is two, and then when you see three people at a piano, one of them is a kibitzer. Very upsetting, those concerto kibitzers. Nothing upset me so much as when I'm in the middle of a concerto and a man leans over my shoulder and says, "Why didn't you play your E-flat?" Very... What are you going to play for us, boys?
Well, we're
going to
play rigmarole and Broadway rhythm.
Rigmarole, your own arrangements?
Yes, sir.
All right. Buddy Grover and George Handelman are going to play rigmarole and what's the other number?
Broadway rhythm.
Broadway rhythm. Thank you very much. If you're lonesome there, you two boys at the piano, I'll pull up a chair and learn something there in a minute. Excellent, boys. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a charming young lady, Miss Lois Maurer. Is that right?
Maurer.
Maurer, M-A-U-R-E-R.
Yes.
I'm good and confused tonight, am I not? And you are from Greenville, Ohio?
My hometown is Greenville, Ohio.
Oh, your hometown is. Well, it's a small world after all, isn't it? Here you are from Greenville, Ohio, and here I am from Dorchester, Massachusetts, talking together here in this building. Oh, what's the name of this place, Harry? Oh, Radio City. Yes, imagine the three of us getting together like this. I guess Mr. Rockefeller didn't know when he was putting this place up that you and I would foregather here tonight. It just only goes to show you that you don't have to build a mousetrap to meet the best people. You really can't tell who you're going to run into. I was up at the YMCA yesterday and met the whole... a basketball team from the Rice Institute down in Houston, Texas. See, so you never can tell. The boys asked me to send a message back to Houston, and of course I couldn't very well do that. They're up here to play the Long Island University.
Oh, yes.
Huh? Are you interested?
Oh, yes.
No, the boys, the basketball team asked me to tell Smokey Brothers. You know, you wouldn't know him from Greenville, Ohio, would you? That the team is in fine shape and they hope to win tonight. All of which, of course, has nothing to do with us, Miss Maurer. And you are a soprano?
Yes.
And you're going to sing?
Only a Rose.
Only a Rose. Thank you very much. I haven't bored you, have I?
Not at all. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a real novelty. Tom the Talking Bird, presented by Mr. Benjamin Casemeyer. Is that right?
Casemeyer.
Mr.
Casemeyer.
Casemeyer. Wrong again. I'm going to pronounce my own name after a while, Mr. Casemeyer, and see how I make out. Tom, ladies and gentlemen, is a real talking bird, and I know that if Tom is in the mood tonight, you're going to hear him quite distinctly over the microphone. Would you rather have the bird talk first?
Well, you can have him talk, Fred. Ask him to say, hello, May. May, come up and see me sometime.
Oh, the bird will?
But if you ask him to say, hello, May.
If I ask him, he will?
You ask the bird.
On such short acquaintance? I'd just like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
What sort of a bird is it?
It's an Indian hill miner.
Indian hill?
Hill miner. Comes from India.
Are there many of them in this country?
Very few in this country.
There are. I knew it wasn't a crow, because if he took a good look at me, it would have scared the life out of him when he came in here. Has it taken you long to teach him to talk?
It took me about 2 years to train this bird to talk about 75 words in pure, distinct English language.
Well, how do you go about it? I mean...
Just have a little patience and perseverance.
So the bird understands the tone?
Understands the talk thoroughly.
Your words? Well, I think it would be better. He'd probably feel more at home if you asked him the questions. Would you mind doing that?
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Hello, May. A little bashful, probably.
I don't know. The bird is black. You can't tell when it's blushing, of course. You don't think that the crowd confuses it, or the...
It may confuse him a little bit, being he was in the room for quite a few hours, you know.
Does the spotlight bother him? We can have it taken off.
No, I don't believe it'll bother him. But it may be a little bit too close to him.
For me?
Both of them.
All right. If he'd have only said something, I'd have moved away the first minute there, but of course.
Hello, May. Hello, May. Hello, May. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. You might get the gong, Tom. For 20 years.
Do you think it would be if Tom had a little rest, if you brought him back later, he'd say something?
Probably would, Fred.
He might be a little flustered. Do you want to try that?
Try it again.
And we'll try him a little later on.
All right.
You want to do that?
I'll do that gladly.
All right. You can put the cage over there, And we'll try him again. We'll try one.
We're both very close to him, and
you think that upset him?
The whole thing, yes, because he's been talking quite a lot in the room.
He has,
sir. 7:30.
You don't think he ran out of conversation then?
Well, he generally likes company.
What is that you say to him again?
Hello, May.
Hello, May. Hello, May. Hello, May. Think if I changed the name. Hello, Francis. I think perhaps if you put him... He's coming on. Hello, May. Hello, May. Hello, May. Hello, May. Well, he's taking a drink.
After the drink, he may talk.
You think so? It's unusual to see a bird like this come down from the Bronx, you know. Most of the birds that you associate with the Bronx have no feathers on them. I think perhaps if you'll just...
We'll bring him back later.
All right, and thank you very much. I'm sorry that he isn't in a talkative mood this evening.
He's been very talkative in the room until I brought him out on the stage.
Well, I'll tell our radio audience that we should have been in the room. We probably... I think we could have gotten all of our listeners in there, too.
Yes,
but
I'd love to hear him talk.
All right. And thank you very much. We'll try him again a little later on. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen... It's a peculiar thing about the bird. I heard him talk an hour or so ago, and I guess he's a little confused at the crowd here, the people or the lights or something else. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Vincent Fulton from Jamaica. Is that right, Mr.
Correct.
Fulton?
Correct.
And you are a basso profundo?
Yes, sir.
Would you rather stand on that side of the microphone? You can see the piano. It's a little safer. And what are you going to sing, Mr. Fulton?
Old Black Joe.
Old Black Joe.
Yes, sir.
Sort of difficult to get songs for bass singers these days, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You can't sing sitting high on a hilltop, can you? Comes out so low, it looks as though you're in a valley. And that other one, I feel like a feather in the breeze with a bass singer.
15 pounds.
Well, you'd have to change that to something with more meat on it. You know, I feel like an anvil in the blizzard. All right, Mr. Fulton, you're going to sing Old Black Joe.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Marjorie Myerson. Would you rather stand on this side? You can see the piano. It'll probably help a little. You are a violinist, Miss Myerson.
Yes.
And what are you going to play for us tonight?
The Mazurka by Chopin.
The Mazurka. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you. you. That was Miss Marjorie Myerson. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to have time to ask Tom the Talking Bird to try again due to the fact that we've used up all of our time. And this concludes our amateur contest for tonight. And while I see what the applause machine has to say, I'm going to ask Harry to just say a few words, if you will, Harry.
Since Washington's birthday is only a few days off, the truth is again coming into its own. And the truth is, we bring you these programs to acquaint you with the real benefits of Ipana toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. So if you enjoy these Wednesdays with Fred Allen, won't you in return remember the two products that make your enjoyment possible? Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. Peter, thank you very much. You got the results there, Fred?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter shows that your applause has been heaviest for the following acts. First, Buddy Groves and George Handelman. Second, Miss Louise Maurer and Vincent Fulton. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his weighty hand over the heads of these boys and young lady. And as I call the names, I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud just once more, if you will, for your own winners. Now, first, the two boys who were kind enough to come over from Brooklyn and play their piano duet, Rigmarole and Broadway Rhythm, Buddy Grover and George Handelman. And next, the young lady who, from Greenville, Ohio, came to us tonight to sing Only a Rose, Miss Lois Maurer. Then the young gentleman who so kindly obliged with the solo, Basso Profundo, who sang Old Black Joe, Vincent Fulton. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry?
Coming right up, Fred.
Gosh, we should put on a carrier pigeon here. I think we'd get better service. Thank you. We could probably use Tom. He didn't have... thank you. The first prize, $50 in cash, and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, ladies and gentlemen, goes to Vincent Fulton, who sang Old Black Joe with a decibel rating of 78. The second prize, $25 in cash, with a decibel rating of 77, Buddy Grover and George Handelman, the two boys who played the piano. Thank you very much. I'm sorry that we all couldn't win, but thank you a lot for coming. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight, ladies and gentlemen, and inviting you to another hour of smiles next Wednesday evening at the Old Town Hall. And good news, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny and Mary Livingston will be our guest stars at the Town Hall next Wednesday evening. So don't forget, you're all invited. Good night.
Heard on this program, We Saw the Sea from Follow the Fleet. This is the National Broadcasting Company.